What we say and where we say it makes a difference sometimes, doesn't it? For example, if I put these words up on the screen, that's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind, you'll know, no doubt, where those words were said and who said them. They were said by Neil Armstrong, and where was he when he said them? On the surface of the moon, that's right. And so those were the words, and when you put those words in that context, they mean something quite significant, don't they? And no doubt words that will be written in the pages of history for many years. But you could take those same words and use them in a different context. So, for example, if I took those words and used them when I get out of bed in the morning, that's the same words, but in a different context, and they mean something different, doesn't it? It means something different. The place where we are when we say the words sometimes has significance. So how about these words? Salvation comes from the Lord. Well, we're going to hear those words in a Bible reading in a moment. A man called Jonah said those words, and as you know, we're in that series at the moment, just thinking about Jonah. Jonah said those words. They are wonderful words. They are wise words, a wonderful truth. But can you imagine saying those words from inside the belly of a fish? Let's read from Jonah chapter 2. We've just got the last verse of chapter 1 and then into chapter 2. It says, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. And you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Word of prayer together. Lord God, we have read these words, your word to us. Perhaps strange words, perhaps confusing words, things we don't quite understand. Lord, help us now by your Holy Spirit. Speak to us, speak into our lives. Lord, help each one of us take something from this, your word to us. Lord, may we respond in the way that you would have us respond. Lord, help us now in our understanding and our listening and in our speaking for your glory. Amen. Amen. Last week, we began to think about Jonah, this prophet, this man who had been used by God to speak his word to people. And Jonah was called by God to go to Nineveh, the great city of the Assyrians. But instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah turns and runs in the opposite direction. He goes about as far as he possibly can go from the place that God wants him to go. And why did he not want to go there? Well, if you remember from last week, the Assyrians were the enemy. A fierce enemy, a cruel enemy. Why should they hear about Jonah's wonderful God? Why should they be given the opportunity to repent? Why should they be given a chance, was Jonah's thoughts. And if he did go, would they even listen to him? Maybe he would just end up the same awful fate that others who had been captured by the Assyrians faced. And so Jonah runs away. He catches that boat to Tarshish, as I said, heading in the opposite direction. And then we heard, didn't we, how God sent a great storm and it threatened to break up the boat that Jonah was on. And the sailors say to Jonah, "What have you done?" And Jonah knew that he had been running away from God. And so he offers to let the sailors throw him overboard. And as they did, the waters become calm. And as Jonah sank, he knew that there was no hope for him. He knew that this was his watery grave. He knew that this was the end of his story. Well, no, that wasn't actually the end of his story, was it? Because even there was hope. And God provided a rescue in the most unlikely way. God provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And I think I mentioned last week, we can easily get sidetracked when thinking about this book of Jonah. We can easily think it's all about the fish. Of course, the fish is just part of the story. And this is actually about a story about our big God, not a story about a big fish. And perhaps the theme of the whole of this book of Jonah is that word salvation. Salvation for Jonah. Salvation for the people of Nineveh. And indeed, Jonah concludes his prayer, doesn't he, as we've reminded, by saying those words, "Salvation comes from the Lord." The storms and the fish and the journeys are all part of the big story. But it's part of God's story of salvation. Our God who wants to reconcile all things to himself. All of creation, all people, all places, restored to himself. And so, this book, we have that great theme of salvation. And so we read in chapter 1:17 that the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. What do you do inside of the belly of a fish? You pray. And Jonah cries out to the God that he had been trying to avoid. If you've noticed this in this book before, you've noticed that when Jonah is running away from God, he doesn't pray. When Jonah is buying his ticket from Joppa, he doesn't pray. When Jonah is caught up in the storm in the boat, he doesn't even pray then. The pagan sailors do. They do everything to try and appease their gods. But Jonah doesn't even turn to prayer in that situation. But here, Jonah prays. Someone once said that the belly of a fish isn't a great place to live, but it's a great place to learn. A great place to learn. Sometimes it is in those moments of crisis, sometimes it's through those difficult days that we learn the depth of God's love for us in a way that perhaps otherwise we couldn't. There's a lovely old poem. It was written in the late 1800s. By a chap called Sam Walter. And it's called The Prayer of Cyrus Brown. I don't know if you've ever heard this poem, the Prayer of Cyrus Brown. It's all about the proper way to pray. And it goes like this. It says, "The proper way for a man to pray," said Deacon Samuel Keyes, "and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say the way to pray," said Reverend Dr. Wise, "is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt and upturned eyes." "Oh, no, no, no," said Elder Slow. "Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing towards the ground," said Reverend Dr. Blunt. "Last year, I fell in Hodgkin's Well, head first," said Cyrus Brown, "with both my heels a-sticking up and my head a-pointing down. And I made a prayer right there and then and there, the best prayer I ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, a-standing on my head." And we don't know, do we? We don't know what posture Jonah took when he prayed, but we do know that this was a prayer from a place of crisis. A place where Jonah acknowledged God's salvation in his life. Nothing else, no one else could help him. Just like Cyrus Brown with his head stuck down the well and his feet sticking up. The prayingest prayer he ever prayed. And as Jonah prayed, he was inspired in his prayers by the scriptures that he knew so well. I don't know if you've ever noticed about that, but there are at least 10 references to Psalms from this prayer of Jonah. It's a prayer that's shaped and inspired by the Psalms. At least 10 different references. There's a reference from Psalm 130. "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy." There's another reference from Psalm 18, verse 6. "In my distress I call to the Lord. I cry to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." From Psalm 69, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters, the floods engulf me." And then just one more example from Psalm 3, verse 8, "Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people." So, Jonah, in his prayers, takes the words of Scripture and uses them in his prayers. And, you know, I think that's a really important example to us. When we're struggling in our prayers, when we don't know what to pray, I always encourage anyone who's struggling to pray, turn to the book of Psalms. Start there and finish there if you need to as well. Turn to the Psalms. It's right in the middle of our Bibles. We could open the page, read there. It's a prayer book of the Bible. It's an inspiration to God's people through the centuries. And we have the whole range of emotion through the Psalms. We have those Psalms of lament, those Psalms of crying out to God, those Psalms asking God questions, those Psalms praising God for the wonder of what he's done. Those psalms that are from the depths of despair to the highest of heights. May Jonah's example be an encouragement to us in our prayers to turn to the Psalms, to pray the Psalms, to reflect upon God's word to us through the Psalms. As Jonah prays, he is reminded that God is a God of salvation. He is reminded that God's purpose in this story is that salvation would be known to all people. But of course, that was the thing that Jonah was running away from. Since the beginning of the story, Jonah has been gradually going down. I don't know if you noticed that. It's a story of descent. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He went down below deck in the ship. He went down into the depths of the water when he was thrown overboard. Down and down and down. And there we read those words. The engulfing waters in verse 5. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. The seaweed was wrapped around my head. That's a wonderful picture, isn't it? The seaweed wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. And you see, what Jonah is experiencing here is he's describing what it's like to be separated from God. You see, the most dangerous place for Jonah is not in the belly of the fish. The most dangerous place for Jonah is not even in the water. Not even in the water with seaweed wrapped around a head. His head. Now, the most dangerous place for Jonah is being separated from God. The God who made him. The God who loves him. The God who has a purpose for his life. That was the danger for Jonah. Yet God, in his mercy, had rescued Jonah from that. And even in this depths of seeming despair, there is hope. Because Jonah has cried out to God. And what's God done in that situation? As he hears Jonah who ran away, Jonah who rejected him. What does God do when Jonah calls out to him? Does he push him away and say, no, you've had your chance. You only get one chance in my book. Is that what God says? No. No. God instead listens to that call and cry for mercy. It says, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. In my distress, I call to the Lord, and he answered me. Even in the depths, there is hope. Even in the turmoil, there is hope. We're reminded of those words from the prophet Jeremiah, from Jeremiah 29:13, where it says, you will seek, God speaks his word to his people, saying, you will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. God had not given up on Jonah. Despite how he tried to run, God does not give up on him. Just as God does not give up on you or me. Whatever depths we've sunk to, however much of that seaweed is wrapped around our head in the problems and the difficulties and the confusion of life, God reaches out to us to rescue and to restore. Verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. God hears those prayers. God responds to those prayers. Jonah, issued a reminder to us as well that sometimes we can cling on to the wrong things for our help and our salvation. Verse 8 says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. What's an idol? Well, it's something that people look to for the things that only God can give. We try to put other things, other people, in the place of God. When we rely on our own strength, our own abilities, we're making ourselves an idol. When we put more trust in the amount of money that we've got in the bank rather than the wealth of our God who loves us. When we trust in our own cleverness and our own popularity, when the number of Facebook friends that we have on the friends that we have on Facebook becomes more important to us than our standing with God and our response to the God who loves us. What idols do we build in our lives? As Jonah says, all of those things are worthless. God is the only one for us to put our hope and our trust in. Perhaps Jonah could have tried to save himself. He could have made an effort to swim, trusting in his own strength, but it wouldn't have got him very far. Instead, he had to trust in God, and God, in his grace, provided a rescue for Jonah. It might have been a bizarre rescue, but it was certainly an effective rescue. Jonah could not save himself. Only God could save him. We're reminded, aren't we, of those words that Peter proclaimed in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given to mankind by which we must be saved. Where are we looking to for our hope, our help? Is our salvation from the things of the world around us? Or is our salvation from the God who knows us and loves us and has a plan and a purpose for our lives? Salvation is found from no one else. And that wonderful offer of salvation that Jonah acknowledges in our prayer, that Peter declares here through this sermon in Acts, well, it invites a response, doesn't it? It invites our response from us. Oops. And there we have in verse 9 of that prayer. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Jonah here is committing to God's plan and to God's purposes. Now, how he actually lives that out and how that actually works out is something for next week. And we're going to be thinking about, not next week, but the week after, in the park next week. The week after the park, next time we look at Jonah, we're going to think about how that actually works out in Jonah's life. And whether Jonah does actually keep that vow that he made, or whether he still puts conditions on God and is trying to bargain with God. This is the commitment. The experience of God's salvation in his life prompts him, invites him to make a response, just as it does for you and for me. We can talk about God's wonderful salvation all we want, but what difference does that make in our lives? How are we going to live that out? How are we going to share that with other people? What is it that God is calling you to? What is it that God's calling me to? As a response to all that he has done for us. And for each one of us, that will be different. But for each one of us, God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. He brings us into the wonderful truth of who he is, that knowledge of the truth of who he is, so that we might then live that out and share it with others. And our last verse of the reading, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Perhaps one of the strangest verses of Scripture. And I've shared this story a number of times in school assemblies, and it's a lovely story to share in a school assembly. And when you get to that bit, all the children go, And then I've often said to them, well, actually, I've said to them, actually, there's two ways out of the belly of a fish. And that's probably the better option, actually. So, but of course, what's that telling us is that God has a plan. God's plan of salvation will be known. Will be done. And we see that working out in Jonah's life there. And we're going to be thinking about that next time we're looking at Jonah. But what about your story? What about my story? You know, maybe today you feel as though you're sinking. Maybe you feel as though that seaweed is wrapped around your head. Well, let's hear that same hope that Jonah knew. God who reaches out to us. God who reaches us and brings salvation through a great fish. We were thinking about a fish a bit earlier, weren't we? That fish symbol. That symbol that points to Jesus, God's Son, the Saviour. And God reaches out to you and to me with that same salvation. Perhaps we can learn from Jonah in our prayer life. Perhaps we might have been inspired to pray the Psalms today. Perhaps we hear that invitation to respond to his gift of salvation, God's gift of salvation, that we might live our lives a different way, the way that God wants us to live them, instead of running from him. I want to finish with a story. I want to finish with Asher's story. Because it's an example of a life changed, a life transformed by that salvation from God through Christ. Let's just watch this together.
A guy used to buy drugs off me, standing there, he's like, wow, you've changed so much, couldn't you have made a better decision? And I says, I know that, and there's no turning back for me, definitely no. My name's Asha, and this is my story. When I talk about church, I say I'm part of church, because I was never part of anything, never part of my family. I grew up with six girls, two boys in the family, my mum and dad. I actually left the house when I was 12 years old. Started drinking when I was 12, and that progressed to drugs when I was 14. Through my life, I'd done a lot of dishonest things, and I used to sell drugs. And I actually sold drugs on this street for 12 years, and I never ever knew the church was there. I never knew it was a church. One day I walked into that church in a recovery cafe that was on, and I actually walked in to sell drugs. But God never let that happen. God actually put somebody in my path that day. I'd seen what people had in the church, and I was like, I want some of that. We were doing a Bible study. Adele said, if you let Jesus into your heart, you'll be forgiven for all your sins. And that just spoke volumes to me, and I wanted to do that. Through all that, I never had to use, because the church were guiding me through, you know, and I'd never had to use drugs again, and I just thought that was absolutely amazing. So I got baptised, and I was actually able to forgive myself for a lot of things that I'd done. And I'd never had a connection with my mum, because she used to beat me when I was younger, and the first time I ever went back, she says to me, I have my sixth daughter back, and that was just amazing. And I wasn't allowed to see my wee boy through having seven court cases against me for selling drugs and shoplifting. But we're coming to church and doing the things that I do, and all these court cases just disappeared. I was like, thank you, God. It was just amazing. Having a life with Jesus is just the best thing ever, and if you don't try it, how are you going to know? So I was totally broken when I got here, but I feel alive again. I do feel like a kid again, but I'm learning how to live again.
Salvation comes from the Lord. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you that despite our fallenness, despite our disobedience, despite the fact that we often choose to run away from you, you never run away from us. You reach out to us with your love, with your compassion and your mercy. And you provide a way for us even when sometimes there doesn't seem to be a way. And we thank you that that greatest way of all is through Jesus Christ, your Son, the way, the truth and the life. And it's through Jesus we can know the depth of your love and mercy and forgiveness and a new purpose and a new start. Lord, help us as we think about this account of Jonah. Thank you Lord, for those lessons that we learn from him, lessons about prayer, lessons about your mercy and your grace. And help us to live those things out in our lives. Lord, maybe there's just been one thing today that's spoken to us, one thing that's challenged us, one thing that's helped us. We thank you for that one thing. And now we want to go and live that one thing out for you. Lord, help us and strengthen us and lead us on our way. Amen.